faithful saying. So there's only four places in the whole New Testament that uses that phrase. So the last two Sundays, now today's the third Sunday, we're looking at those four different places. So this morning, our goal is to look at the last two. One of them is in 1 Timothy chapter 4. The other one is in Titus chapter 3. So I'm going to read those two texts to you. And then we're going to look at these faithful sayings as the Bible references to them. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 8 down through 10, starts off. It says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe." And then over in Titus, if you'll turn with me over to Titus chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, we see the last of these faithful sayings. It says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto all men, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." So as we look at these texts, our focus is on these faithful sayings. The one over in 1 Timothy chapter 4 is the one we're going to deal with first. If you'll go back to that text with me, it says to us in verse 9, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." That means that there's no exception. This absolutely is a faithful saying without exception. And what is the faithful saying? "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things." That's the faithful saying. And I've explained to you each week that that phrase, "this is a faithful saying," is in reference to the time of the apostles, the time when the early church was repeating these phrases, maybe part of a poem or part of a song or just a saying that they're saying at that time. But the apostle, as he pens this, he's reminding them, this is something commonly said among Christians at that time, and he wants to just hone in on it. So here in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he's talking about some contrasting perceptions or concepts concerning well-being. And he takes what is really fashionable in that day, and he contrasts that to something spiritual. So he says to us, "Bodily exercise profiteth little." Now, he's not saying bodily exercise doesn't profit at all, but he's living in the midst of a culture, that Roman culture. It's at a time when even the Athenians, the Olympic mentality of strength and power, the Roman gladiators, might, power, the Roman soldiers, perceived as incredibly powerful and strong. And so he's taking that contrast of bodily exercise and he's contrasting it to spiritual things. So again, what is the faithful saying? He says to us, "Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things." So he's saying, yes, absolutely, bodily exercise is a good thing, but in comparison to eternal things, it is a small thing. In fact, sports, teams, all those things, you learn some valuable lessons there. You learn lessons of working as a team, learning lessons of endurance and gutting it through. It's kind of like your first job. You learn the same thing, don't you? You have that first job as a teenager. All of a sudden, you're part of a McDonald's team or a landscaping team or whatever it is that you're doing, a cleaning team, an office team. Your first job, you get in there, you find out, wow, I've got to be a team player, don't I? Just like on a sports team. And then I also have to endure. If the boss says to me, "I want you to do this or this," you can't get halfway through and say, I'm bored with this. I think I want to do something else. It usually doesn't fly on the job, does it? You know, Brother George is a professional chef. He can't get through halfway through cooking the roast and say, oh, man, this is boring. I'm done with this, and just walk out. You can't do that, can you? It's going to be bad meal day at whatever event they're doing. It's the same way with sports. When I played football in high school and we started running laps, you couldn't stop and look at the coach and say, I'm tired. That would not fly. You got more laps if you did something that foolish. You had to learn endurance, strength, perseverance, teamwork. Well, he's saying to us, he's saying, listen, bodily exercise, it has a profit. It's profitable, but small compared to eternal spiritual things. So he's reminding us. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 says to us, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So when we weave these spiritual things with these physical things, the apostle oftentimes connects the two. Here he's saying, don't forget, you and I, as we live our spiritual lives, we have an audience. He says, in fact, those who have gone on before us make up that great cloud of witnesses. They behold the life, the race we are living, as you and I live our faith day by day. Think of the godly folks that through the years we've worshiped with, who have gone home to be with the Lord. You know, I think back to Rod and Marion Baldwin, sweethearts, passed away years and years ago. Well, they're part of that great cloud of witnesses that behold our lives, our faithfulness as Christians. Just as a great coliseum of people would witness the race as they would come and run as gladiators. So he's taking these things and he's bringing them down and weaving them together and helping us to understand that while, yes, bodily exercise, it profits, but again, it's small compared to spiritual and eternal things. That's what he goes on to teach us when he says to us that it profiteth little, however, those spiritual things, they have promise of life now and of that which is to come. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 says to us, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You and I, as we're pursuing life, we're pursuing the joys of life, the contentment of life, the satisfaction of life. He says, listen, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Then these things will be added unto you. You want to have a good marriage? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You want to learn how to raise your kids right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You want to go ahead and learn how to be a good employee and succeed at work and managing your finances? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these things shall be added unto you. That's what he says to us in Matthew 6:33. He's trying to help us to see that yes, while bodily exercise profits in areas of our lives, spiritual things touch all our life. In fact, he says, not only this life, but the life to come, because spiritual things change our eternity. Did you get that? You guys, that was very quiet. I want you to do something with me. I'm going to say that again, but I want you guys to do kind of like they do down south. Just say amen, okay? Just because I want you to connect with this. Spiritual things change our eternity. Good job, good job. I know you got up this morning, it was snowing out there, you thought it's a snow day. Then it stopped snowing and you thought, oh man, I got to go to church. No, that's not really what happened. But this morning, I want you to grasp this, because this is a faithful saying that he's saying to us. Yes, bodily exercise is good for us. Yes, being parts of teams and learning to be strong and healthy and work together and endure, all of that is good for us. But in comparison to spiritual things, he says, it not only profits us in this life, but eternally. Spiritual things can change our eternity. Jesus Christ died on the cross, not to just give us an abundant life, but an eternal life. He wants us to understand that we as sinners need to lay our sins at the foot of the cross, receive Christ as our Savior, that we might be, as he called it, born again, a new child of God with eternal life. Yes, he says, bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. With confidence, we know that when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have eternal life because of him. Not because of us, but because of the gift that he gives us through his shed blood, his sacrifice on the cross. So when we look at our lives and we say, I want to improve my life, then he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when you say to yourself, well, I'm concerned about eternal life, I'm concerned about when I die, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And these things shall be added unto you. As you seek and know him in all aspects of this life that we now live and the life to come. But in order to do that, you have to invest some time, some energy, don't you? You have to go ahead and check it out, don't you? I mean, it's kind of like doing a project. This week, I'm grateful for the guys who came and helped us out as we put in new cabinets and new countertops in the nursery and the preschool, new countertops in the bathrooms down below. But I am an instruction follower. How many of you follow the instructions? Boy, I am I'm just an odd being, aren't I? So because I had never installed those kind of countertops, they're solid surface countertops, I called the guy who made them. I said, hey, this is Pastor Tim Taylor. He says, oh, hey, Pastor, because we'd done business. I said, now listen, we're getting ready to install these countertops, and I want to make sure I do it right. How do you do it? So he took me through the whole process of installing the countertop, and he says, now I'm going to talk to you about putting on the backsplash. He says, that's different. I said, okay, how do you do that? He says, you do the same thing with the silicone, but if you just put it on with silicone, it's going to flop off because silicone takes too hard to harden. So he said, what I want you to do is get like a Kraft women's electric glue gun. Now, I would have never thought to go into the craft room to get stuff to install a countertop. So he tells me, he says, you put these dime-sized things of silicone, then very quickly you take that electric glue gun and bam, 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 and then bam, put it up. And he says that glue will harden fast, but that silicone will take 12 hours. See, I like directions. Because I'd have put that silicone up there, I'd have put that thing in there, and then I'd have walked away and come back in a few hours, and it would have been looking at me backside up. And I didn't want that. Well, it's not just installing counters or backsplashes. All of life, it's good to read the directions. It's good to go and see, well, Lord, what do you have for us? I understand bodily exercise is profitable, but spiritual things impact this life and the life to come. So where do I go to learn that? Right here. My little boys, my grandboys over there in New York, Sandra Jo, years and years ago, we had a pool table that you put a top on to be a ping pong table. So we gave it to Joe and Joy for their basement down there. And so I went over there. The boys they're getting to be that age, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. She's got 6 boys, a little baby girl, and she's taking care of a Chinese exchange student. So when I got there, they're all playing pool, and I mean craziness on the pool. Dangerous to be in there to play pool with these boys. Long pointed sticks with all 7, 8, 9, 10 year olds. So I told them, I said, guys, we've got to play by the rules. They don't want to know the rules. Why rules? Let's throw the ball. we can get it in the hole better. It was dangerous. I said, well, let's step back and let's see how you're supposed to do this. Well, that's the same way it is with the Bible and life. He says, yes, but bodily exercise has a profit. It's profitable a little bit compared to eternal life, compared to spiritual truth. So we have to take time to study, to show ourselves approved, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth is what the scriptures teach us. So when we look at this faithful saying, we know that God has for us precious, valuable truths that will improve this life and the life to come. In fact, look at verse 10 with me in 1 Timothy chapter 4, because he kind of goes past that to give us a little more insight. He says, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. So he says, I want you to understand as believers, you and I, because we do take these spiritual truths, because we do study to show ourselves approved, because we do want to change this life and our eternal life, he says, because of that, we both labor for the Lord, labor in studying his word, labor in serving the Lord in our lives, but he says also we suffer reproach. So he wants us to understand there are some consequences to being spiritual. Well, you know what? There's consequences to the physical exercise part, isn't there also? Absolutely. Certainly remember when I played football in high school, you had an objective. Every time you got on the line and you got head-to-head with that other kid, you had a couple objectives. Depending upon whether you're offensive or defensive, you had to achieve something to do with the movement of the ball. But you always had the objective, according to my coach. Now, maybe things have changed, but when I was a kid, they told us, you have to hurt that kid across the line from you. You can't be passive about this. You can't say, excuse me, I want to go through here. Would you move? That doesn't work. They would tell us, you have to hit him so hard that he wonders what came through the line. A freight train came through the line. Something hit him hard. That's the goal. You can't be, excuse me, I'm Tim. I'm playing here. You're playing there. Could you move? That's not going to happen. You got to be aggressive, don't you? You got to be committed. He says there's some consequences when you're a Christian. There's going to be some pushback. Just like in sports, if you're running a race, that person beside you is not saying, go ahead. Excuse me. That's not happening. They're kind of jostling it, getting in there. Not that I was ever a runner. That's not my forte at all. But I definitely can. I've seen people do that. You and I in our lives as Christians, he says absolutely, if we live our faith, if we embrace the truths of the scriptures, it will improve the life we live now and our eternal life. But he says, I want you to understand it requires labor. It requires you to be committed to study, to show yourself approved. It requires you to invest time and energy and know that there will be some pushback. There will be those who don't like the fact that you're a Christian. Might be family members, co-workers, neighbors, who knows who it is, but they're gonna give you some pushback because they don't like the fact that you're a believer. He says, I want you to understand that's going to come. So don't be shocked if it happens. Don't be discouraged if that happens. When I played football, I remember the kid who was trying out for quarterback. One of the early practices, he told the coach, he said, listen, he said, coach, it really hurts when they tackle me. I'm afraid of the ground. And the coach said to him, well, that's fine. You go right over there and you sit on the bench and you won't have to worry about that. And he just took him out. You see, we can't be afraid of bruises and bangs and those kind of things in the Christian life either. If you're worried about somebody hurting your feelings because they think you're too religious, too focused on God, too concerned about what the Lord has for you in your life, if you're worried about those bumps and bruises, you're going to be very disappointed in life. He says, man up. You and I, we have to go ahead and labor at this, work at this, be strong in your faith, and understand that there will be some opposition. There will be some bumps and bruises. So when we look at 1 Timothy 4, 8, and 10, again, that faithful saying is what? For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Then I told you we're going to go to Titus, and I'm going to show you the last of the four places in the New Testament that uses this phrase, faithful saying. Turn with me, if you would, over to Titus chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 8 and 9. Listen to what he says. This is a faithful saying. And that's what we've been looking at, the four places in the New Testament that uses that phrase. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. That's a powerful statement right there. He says, I want you to affirm this. I'm getting ready to tell you this faithful saying. I want you to affirm it constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. So what's the faithful saying? Those who believe in God maintain good works. It's as simple as that. He says, now this is something I want you to constantly affirm. I want people to hear this over and over and over again. He said, this is a faithful saying that you and I as Christians and throughout all of Christendom need to remember. And that is that if we believe in God, we should be about doing good works. They which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. You notice he puts the word careful in there. Because careful means that you're really conscientiously striving to do it right. It's kind of like us installing those countertops and backsplashes. I wanted to make sure that it was done right. The guys who were working with us, we wanted to make sure it was done right. I called to that guy and I said to him, I said, now listen, I've got to cut this backsplash. What is the recommended way to cut this? I want to make sure I don't splinter it or chip it or break it. So the guy told me, well, do you have a chop saw? I said, yeah, I got a chop saw. He says, do you have a carbide blade? I have a carbide blade. He says, just cut it with a carbide blade, but be careful. I can grasp that, can't you? So I knew right away when John said to me, well, I'll do it with a hatchet. I said, no, John, you can't do it with a hatchet. Not going to do it with a hatchet. And John loves pocket knives, big knives, not just pocket, big knives. In fact, Will Clark brought him his Marine military knife, gave it to John. So when John pulls that thing out with the big serrated back and he's wanting to cut the back, I know. We're going to be careful and we're going to do this with the chop saw, with the carbide tips on the blade. We're going to carefully cut this. So he's saying to us, he's saying, listen, you believe in God? You need to be careful to maintain good works. In other words, conscientiously thinking it through, positively striving to do it just the way God wants it done. So good works in our lives is not just something we trip across or accidentally do. We carefully, purposely strive to do good works. Well, Pastor, if I do good things, people are going to call me a do-gooder. You know, what was the word? Gene told me one this morning. What'd you say they call people who do good works? Goody two-shoes, Pastor. I can't have somebody calling me a goody two-shoes. I can't be doing good things. Are you seriously worried about that? I mean, man, how's it go? Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never hurt you. Only if you don't let them. You and I, we have to be careful to be about the Master's business purposefully doing good works. So what if they call you a goody-two-shoes? So what if they call you a do-gooder? Let me tell you what he says about doing good works. Because I want you to see that he's serious about this. He says, this is a faithful saying. He says, it's something I want you to affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. The good works that you do as a Christian are good and profitable. How many of you know what's profit? How many of you know, if I say to you, you made a profit, how many of you know what that means? That means you've moved in the positive direction. I saw that Paul didn't raise his hand. That means that when you're doing your checkbook, if it goes in the red, that's non-profit. If it goes in the black, that's profitable.
Thank you.
I'm just helping you. I'm just helping. We understand what it means to be profitable. It means that you went from here and you gained. He's saying when we do good works, we actually gain as a culture, as a society, as a family, as a person. It's profitable to do good works. So what's the opposite of profitable? Are you going to red? Negative? Did you say negative?
Hurting.
Going back, right? You're falling backwards. Well, that's what bad works do. So we'll take Sheriff Mike right here, Addison County Sheriff. If next week Mike falls off the wagon and he decides, well, instead of being a sheriff, I'm going to be a bank robber. That won't happen, right, Mike?
Probably not.
Okay, good. But he goes and he robs our local bank. That's not a good work, is it? That's a bad work. So if somebody robs the bank, whose money are they taking? Yours and mine. Now, oh, Pastor, it's FDIC insured. Well, who do you think they are? They're the people who take our money in taxes. No matter what they're stealing from us, that's a negative. Amen? Bad works are a negative. Good works are a positive. We all gain when people do good works. That's what he says. He says, if you believe in God, this is a faithful saying that you should be careful to maintain good works because they are good and they are profitable. So when somebody says to you, oh, you're just a goody-two-shoes, a do-gooder, you wear that as a badge of honor. That means that you're improving the culture you live in, the society, the family, your neighborhood, the place you work. You're improving it if you're doing good things. I was walking in town, I think it was, the other day. And as I was walking along, other people were walking along in front of me. And I saw some paper blowing on the ground. And people just walking right by the paper. And for some reason, it struck me. Here I live in this state of Vermont that is so environmentally conscious, and they're watching paper blow. So as I walked by, I just picked it up, and there was a trash can up here, and I threw it in the trash can. Now, that's not a big deal, is it? I certainly don't deserve a medal for it, but is that a good thing? It is a good thing. It's a small thing, but it's a good thing. No matter what it is in our lives, he says, if we say we believe in God, we should do good things. They are good, no matter what anybody else says, and they are profitable. Remember what profitable means? All right, he's got it. So each of us in our lives, it's a faithful saying for us as Christians to maintain good works in our lives. The book of Titus hits on good works over and over again. Titus chapter 2, verse 7 says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech. In fact, when you go over here to Titus chapter 3, verse 8. It gives us what we just looked at. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Titus chapter 2, verse 14 says, who gave himself to us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Titus 3:14, you come down and he says to us, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. God wants us to be fruitful. He wants us to be profitable in our lives. He wants us as believers to do good works. As we come to the end of the service this morning, we've concluded looking at the four places in the entire New Testament that uses that phrase, this is a faithful saying. Each one of them a little unique, yet kind of all connecting. These two concluding ones really talking about practical life. Talking about us living our faith like an athlete would exercise and really benefit here and even beyond. And telling us that our faith should impact our daily lives in doing good works. So you as a Christian, embrace these faithful sayings. Carry them on. Remember, he just said to us, make sure that you pass it on. Keep on teaching it. Because these are profitable in our lives. Let's bow our heads as we come to the end of our service. And as your head is bowed, I want you to look in your heart. I'm not going to have a normal invitation this morning, but right where you are, as your head is bowed, I'd just like you to take a moment and look in your heart and ask.